Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
Yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Aloha and good morning, everyone. From Waikiki Beach, it's Baron Cindy's condo. Looking down over a beautiful morning surf in Waikiki. We're going to get up and go to make our Safeway run, get some groceries, 2 weeks supply of groceries, and then go down to Hawaii Kai and Sandy Beach, grab some Zippy's breakfast, go down to the beach and have a little bit of breakfast, and then back to our REAs here, isolating ourselves in Waikiki. It's beautiful. Down there in that little area right in there, it's kind of a protected area. I call it the baby pool. Cindy and I go down there and we play smash ball with each other in the afternoons in the water, because you can't do that on the beach. You're not allowed on the beach, but you are in the water. And I think today we'll probably get some stand-up paddle time in. So we're doing well here in Waikiki. We hope you guys are making the best of this time, because all this time belongs to the Lord. We're in a real cool place in our catechism, understanding in a sense the nature of man. And by the way, if you're wondering why I have those little pound and then the numbers after it, that's the paragraph we're in the catechism. So we're in pound 364 in the catechism of the Catholic Church. The human body shares in the dignity of the human image of God. It is a human body precisely because it is animated by a spiritual soul. And it is the whole human person that is intended to become in the body of Christ, a temple of the Holy Spirit. So I was reading Pope Benedict's book last night on St. Paul, and he was emphasizing the fact that when we are baptized, we're baptized into Christ's body, that we actually become part of his body. It's a physical thing that we do. It's interesting, isn't it? That's a physical thing that we do when we are baptized into the water, because we're made of matter and spirit, right? So God shows the dignity of our corporal body by baptizing us in the water. Remember when Jesus was baptized, John the Baptist said, "It's not right that I should baptize you, you should baptize me." And Jesus said, "It is right to do all things meek unto repentance." And so what he was doing, the early church fathers teach us, is that he was not repenting of sin. What he was doing by being baptized was sanctifying the waters of our baptism. And so we're not just part of a church. We are part of the actual body of Christ. And that raises our dignity above the angels. And it means that we're seated with him. We have to be seated with him in the heavenly places if we're part of his body. And the same thing is with the Eucharist. You know, the athletes have a saying, you are what you eat. If you eat training food, good food, your muscle and your body and your fiber and your mental health and everything else will be better. When we receive the Eucharist, we become what we eat. And in fact, what Pope Benedict said is when you eat food, it becomes part of you. But when you receive the Eucharist, you become part of Jesus. Jesus said, I will come into you and dine with you and you with me. So there's a very physical and spiritual reality to our sacraments. The baptism is a sacrament where we immerse our body, or we're sprinkled by part of the material world. Even in the matrimony, when the spouses celebrate that, you know, the priest doesn't celebrate matrimony. He's a witness to the celebration that the couples do. It's in the nuptial bed, isn't it, that the sacrament, takes place, or is part of the sacrament. So our physical, even in confession, you know, faith comes by hearing. Pope Benedict was saying that it comes by hearing. It's not something that you just pick up. Your faith is because someone was there to pass the faith on to you. And you hear, and you are being formed now, not by me, but by the body of Christ, by the Catholic Church, and by its teaching. So faith comes by hearing. It's an impartation. It's not something you come up with your own mind, but it's actually an impartation, person to person, the body of Christ. So to be a human body is to be able to participate. If you think about it, Jesus forever is not as he was. He was always eternally begotten of the Father, but when he became incarnate, he became incarnate. And he still has his resurrected body. And we are part of that body. It's a mystery. It's beyond comprehension. Thus is why we feel so important that marriage is between a man and a woman, because in that sense, we are the bride of Christ. And the marriage between a man and a woman, that complementarity, is to be as St. Paul said, part of that mystery, to understand why there is even marriage, what it's all about. So praise God for the dignity of our human bodies. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I was saying yesterday how we're spirit, soul, and body. We're corpus, our body, our soul, psuche, where we get the word psychology, so where our mind, will, and emotions are, and our spirit, pneuma, which is that part of us that can commune with God. So our soul is in the form of the human body. And our spiritual soul, if you think about it this way, the temple in the wilderness, the way that it is designed, is there's the outer court. It's the same as in the temple in Jesus' time. The outer court is where there's an altar, and even the Gentiles, anybody can come and approach the outer court. Just like our physical body, someone could see me, you know, from a long distance away and see my body, but they can't see my soul. So the outer court of the temple is that part of us. It represents the corpus, the physical part of us. Then you go into the holy place, and let's think of that as our soul, our psuche, as the Bible says. It's also translated sometimes flesh. Not corpus like our body, but psuche is sometimes translated flesh when it's talking about our kind of fallen nature. And so that's like the holy place in the temple, where only the Jews could go. But then there's the Holy of Holies. And that, I would say, is the innermost part of our soul, our spirit, where only the high priest and only on the Day of Atonement is allowed to enter. That part of our spirit is there only for the King of Kings to reside. And if you have, you know, it's interesting that in the Old Testament, it seemed like the younger brother got the inheritance, even though it wasn't supposed to be that way. It was supposed to be, it is traditionally the eldest brother that received the inheritance. But remember, it was Joseph, you know, who became the leader among his brothers. And you can see other examples of that in the Old Testament. In our pneuma, in that sense, is the younger brother, because it's born anew. It's freshly reborn by the birth of Christ. And then there's that transformation. May you be metamorphosed by the renewing of your mind. What part of your body is that? The mind is part of the psuche, part of your soulish nature. You look at Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve were tempted, they were tempted physically, and their mind saw that it was good to eat, and so their body and their soul took ascendancy of their spirit, which had this relationship with God. So we must be born again. Our spirit, the new man within us, our spirit man, must be born again. And then from there, rivers of living water flow into the renewing of our mind and the renewing of our bodies. You know, in Hawaii, we have the freshest air and the newest land, the beautiful fresh water, because we're in the most remote part of the world. It, out that way is the big island, but it's the baby island. It's the big baby. It's still giving birth to new land. And so in that same way, our spirit man is giving new birth to the rest of our being. So, but we have dignity in the unity of our body, soul, and spirit. And when we're born again, it's meant to be a total recapitulation of our soul and our body, a total redemption. As Jesus said, "Behold, Mother, I make all things new." And so in heaven, not only will we be souls, a spirit, but we will have our resurrected, glorified body. Think about Jesus' glorified body, how when he rose again, the power and the glory of his body, I mean, he would just appear places. Think about this, at the death on the cross, think about this, nuclear fission is when you split the tiniest of atoms, right? When you split an atom, you have nuclear fission, and great power is unleashed. Think about at the time of Jesus' death, when his soul was separated from his physical body, the great power that was unleashed. But remember, his body was always united with the Trinity, and his soul and spirit, solely spirit, was always united with the Trinity. But there was a separation of his body and his soul. It's a mystery. Great power was unleashed when a little nuclear atom is split. Think about the power unleashed when the body of Christ was separated from his spirit man, his spiritual soul is a better way to say it. But the greater power than fission is nuclear fusion. When two particles are small particles are put together, it's even more powerful. Think about when Christ's spiritual soul was reunited with his body, the great transformation that took place. So at the cross, we experience Christ's redemption, and in his resurrection, we experience new life. So the human body shares in the dignity of the image of God. It is a human body precisely because it is animated by a spiritual soul, and is the whole human person that is intended to become, in the body of Christ, a temple of the Spirit. Now, if you go to Mass and you're receiving the Eucharist, you are partaking of Christ's body and becoming part of his body through that. So is the person next to you. They're part of the body. In other words, we are all joined and knitted together, part of the body of Christ. Maybe you don't even like the person next to you, but too bad. Man, though made of body and soul, is a unity. Through his very bodily condition, he sums up in himself the elements of the material world. Through him, they are thus brought to their highest perfection and can raise their voice in praise freely given to the Creator. For this reason, man may not despise his bodily life. Rather, he is obliged to regard his body as good and to hold it in honor, since God has created it and will raise it up on the last day. Some raised to glory, some raised to eternal hell. It's their choice. It's 100% your choice whether you go to heaven or hell. Whether you have a fruitful faith, a faith that lives out love in truth. That's 100% your choice. And remember, we say love is the willing the true good for the other in self-donation. I'll let you enjoy the beautiful Waikiki sunrise. Beautiful morning. My friend Big Wave Dave owns Big Wave Dave's Coffee Shop and Surf Lessons. It's a great, cool place here in Waikiki. Enjoy your day, everybody. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength, but the Lord also paces us like a runner paces, you know, the team. There's always someone that will pace the team. So run the race, but run it at God's pace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Ahui ho, aloha, and viva Cristo Rey.
Teachings for an Unbelievable World is a newly discovered work written by St. John Paul II, then Archbishop Karol Wojtyla of Krakow, in the years just after Vatican II. This is the first English language publication of this important work. In this hardcover book that Scott Hahn calls one of the greatest hidden treasures unearthed in our time, 13 brief homilies provide compelling teaching for Catholics in today's post-Christian world and give fresh insights into JP2's pontificate. You can get a copy of this important new book at AveMariaPress.com. Use code JP2Teachings, that's JPII Teachings, to get 20% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.